I'm Callum Borchers. Next week on Only a Game, Muammar Gaddafi, dictator, sponsor of international terrorism, hockey supporter. But first, Charlie Pierce is here with the week's news. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Cal.
So NBA Finals MVP Kawhi Leonard has left the Toronto Raptors to join the Los Angeles Clippers. That part's not surprising. I mean, we knew that leaving Toronto was a possibility. What's more surprising is that he signed only a 3-year deal with the Clips, with the ability to opt out after just 2 years. What's going on, Charlie?
Well, he's trying to think one step ahead, and he's in a position to do that. I think it's interesting that the Clippers were willing to go for that deal.
But don't players like to lock themselves up long term in case they get injured? They want that guaranteed money, no?
Kawhi has had injury problems, so, I mean, I'm sure, you know, he thought things through, and maybe he figures 3 years is the absolute top any human being can handle being a Clipper. I don't know.
So he's bringing his buddy Paul George with him, and assuming he stays healthy, I mean, do the two of them make the Clippers the favorites to win it all next season?
Maybe not to win it all, but it certainly fattens up the West even more.
So Leonard's deal gives him a chance to possibly become a free agent again at the same time as Paul George, LeBron James, and even the new league MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. How'd I do on the pronunciation there, Charlie?
You did very, very well. Right. Congratulations.
Greek freak or just Giannis when in doubt. But that brings me to my next question, which is about NBA stars collaborating in free agency. League owners aren't crazy about this, and the NBA's commissioner, Adam Silver, suggested this week that the league needs enforceable rules. Do you like the sound of that?
Well, I think all rules should be enforceable. Otherwise, what's the point of having rules? But if they try to enforce this, they're going to wind up in court and they're probably going to lose. This is going to be a very hard loophole to close.
Just when we thought the NBA's offseason had settled down, we get the Oklahoma City Thunder trading Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul, 2 protected first-round draft picks, and the right to swap 2 more first-round picks. Which team and which player comes out on top in that deal?
Oh, I think Westbrook does, for sure. You know, Oklahoma City 2 years ago was the challenger to the Warriors, and now they've almost completely revamped their roster and it's almost completely fallen apart. I think it's the karmic revenge for having screwed Seattle the way the franchise did myself. But now we're going to see the viability of putting a franchise in Oklahoma City because they're going to have to rebuild.
The Chicago White Sox this month will become the first Major League Baseball team to install protective netting all the way to the foul poles. The idea, of course, is to protect fans from balls and sometimes even bats flying into the stands. But some spectators already complain that existing nets obstruct their views. Are bigger nets going to be the norm soon, Charlie?
Oh, absolutely. There's real motivation in the possibility of getting sued for half your franchise. And people will adjust. You know, they adjust to everything. They adjust to ticket prices. They adjust to, you know, changing in uniforms. They adjust to players trading. They'll go to a season's worth of games with all the full netting and everything will be fine.
The Baseball Hall of Fame acquired a new artifact this week. The ball thrown on the first pitch in a professional game to be called ball or strike by a computer. This was a test in the Atlantic League All-Star Game. The idea is to enforce a more consistent strike zone, and MLB is apparently watching this. Charlie, do you welcome baseball's robotic umpiring overlords?
I do. I welcome our new robotic overlords. I do want to see, though, if the robot umpires are programmed to do the chest bump and how the robotic umpires will react to having dirt kicked on their shoes.
Major League Baseball is also watching what happens as the Atlantic League experiments with a new rule allowing players to steal first base. How does that one strike you?
No. Stop this immediately. This is one of those things where you wonder if Rob Manfred really likes baseball or not, even though he's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. The whole thing is freaky. You can steal first base on any pitch on any count not caught in flight will be considered a live ball, and the batter may run to first base, similar to a dropped third strike. Nobody is calling for this.
I don't know. I kind of would have liked to see it back when Ichiro was still playing, though. He was so fast, I feel like he would have racked him up.
Yeah, but still, no. This is too freaky even for me. And my tastes in baseball are very odd.
Jim Boughton died on Wednesday. The former big league pitcher and author who lifted the veil on what goes on in major league locker rooms was 80 years old. How will you remember Boughton?
I'll remember him because he transformed everything I believed about sports writing and everything I believed about the people who play the games. That was a groundbreaking book. There's an entire one or two generations of sports fans that would not be the same without Ball 4. It was as transformational in sports as the selling of the president was in presidential politics. And the other thing is, it's funny as hell to this day.
And finally, Charlie, races involving people in costumes are usually sideshows, like the sausage race in Milwaukee or the president's race in D.C., but a horse track in Auburn, Washington, has made a costume race the main event. Emerald Downs held its third annual T-Rex race this month. The video is an internet sensation. Next stop, Olympics?
Oh, I hope so, because you know what it looks like? If you remember Chariots of Fire, where all the runners had their heads thrown back and their heads were bobbing and their tongues were, you know, wriggling out of their mouths and stuff. That's what the end of the T-Rex race looked like.
Well, it's true because, as it turns out, an open T-Rex mouth is not very aerodynamic. You know, it really seemed to fly in the wind and slow people down.
No, and there also were a few people who haven't quite mastered the technique of running in a T-Rex costume yet either.
Charlie Pierce joins us each week here on Only a Game. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.